I would like to share with you the story of this little song that the Lord put in my heart years ago when we were the leaders of the prayer ministry in our conference in Southern California. I asked the Lord, "Lord, I just want a song that I can transmit the message that we are promoting through the prayer ministry." And my elder daughter, Karen, oldest daughter, Karen, she plays the piano delightfully for my heart. And I asked her, "Karen, help me. I need a song." But nothing was coming. And it was coming an special event that I want to use a song. But finally, the Lord gave me this song. And I was in Dominican Republic, and I heard a little song that for me was the bass. And I just changed some words, and I wrote the little song, but I completely, completely forgot how it was sung. And when I arrived to California after 2 weeks, I went to Karen, and I said, "Karen, help me. I found this, and I don't know how to sing it, but you must find a way to sing this song that I will indeed be good." I mean, I asked her, and I said, "Okay, give me time." And after a month, she called me and said, "Dad, listen to this." And she started to play the little song. And I said, "That's it. That's it. This is the song." And for years, we sing this song, and I was in March in South Mexico, Chiapas, the city of Chiapas, one of the universities over there. And I was, preaching, and every day they assigned me to one of the schools, representatives of one of the schools of the university, to have lunch with them and to share with them, And then I was with this, I don't know the day, but it was one of those days, and I was with the young people, the students there, and was one Russian lady sitting there, and she said, "Pastor Garcia, this morning when you preached this morning, you mentioned something about that song when God's people's prayer." And I said, "Yes. The story that you shared is true?" And I said, "Well, yes, my daughter and I formed this song and we sing." He said, "I need to tell you a story then." And he said, "Tell me the story." "This song has been translated into Russia. And we are singing this song in Russia. And in her country, that it used to belong to Russia, but they consider it, and they've been persecuted, because in the place where she lives, pretty much most of the population is Muslims. And they hate, the Christians." And she said, "Every time when we have been in peril, my mother, somehow she learned this song, and she has been singing this song, and she taught us, to my sister and myself, this song. And this song has been the strength to keep going in our faith." And I said, "Oh my goodness, I never thought that this song, the Lord will use it so powerfully in different ways. And it has been around the world. It's been translated in different languages now. And praise the Lord." It was a little bit more simple. Not like that. But Gary made this arrangement and all that. But it was so beautiful. And believe me, I praise the Lord. And I thank God that this little song has been a blessing for so many people. When God's people pray, marvelous things happen. I just want you to remember that. Remember that. When God's people pray, marvelous things happen. And I will share with you at the end another story with this song. But would you please turn on your Bibles or open your Bibles in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And let us read two passages, Isaiah 41, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. "You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and say to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't a beautiful promise? Isn't it beautiful that the Lord says, hey, I know that you are my servant and I will never cast you away. I will never forgive you. I will always remember you. Every time when you are in despair, I will be with you. I will be beside you. And I will give you the strength that you will need to keep going. I will always, always be beside you. Just trust in me. Trust in me with a blind faith that I will be with you. Well, definitely, our gracious God is so faithful to his promises. And every single promise in Jesus' name is a yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Every single promise that a God has made in Jesus Christ, all of them are yes for those who believe. Remember that. And Ellen G. White has a beautiful quote in this book, Christ's Object Lessons, chapter 12. In Spanish it will be different, but you can find the line there. It says, when you come to God, you know, get your Bible, finger, you know, point with your finger the promise, lift out your eyes and say, Lord, here you said it. Fulfill it, Father, and God will hear you. So remember, because God, there is nothing more in his heart to see you smiling, happy, content. That's our God. He loves you. He loves me so dearly that the only thing that he wants, every time when he sees you, you know, with not a happy face, the Lord says, what's going on with you? What is it? Tell me, what is it? I want to see you smiling. If there is something that I can do, I will do it for you. We will find it tonight more clearly. There is a story in the Bible with two rounds. And both rounds is amazing how God intervenes. And sometimes confuses us. And for me, this is the first time, believe me, this is the first time that I will preach this sermon. I had never thought to preach from this story. But the Lord impressed my heart when I was preparing the thoughts for this week. And this is what the Lord impressed my heart to share with you tonight. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. The story of tonight has the intention for me when I read it that sometimes in life we will be found in the middle of situations that you and I, we have nothing to do with this situation, a hectic situation, a sometimes horrific situation, an awful situation. You are not responsible. Somebody else is the responsible, but how or why we are in the middle and we are experiencing all the consequences of this, we don't know. Sometimes we don't have the answers. But believe me, if you trust in your guide and in your God, if you trust with a blind faith and you just don't give up, even though things are and you don't understand all that is going on, at the end, everything will be okay. As long as you keep your trust in God. Let us read it. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maid servant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. After Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. You see, obviously, today, this will be very, very, very wrong way to go. But back then, that was part of the culture. You know, if you are a wife, part of your mission was to bring, you know, the heirs to the family, to inherit the name of the family. And you were responsible. You are not able, you are not capable to give a child. You were responsible to find someone suitable for your husband in order to have family. And usually to have servants, to have, you know, slaves in the family. Usually if they found someone, you know, suitable, they will do that. That's what Sarai made this move, you know, with her maidservant to say, "Listen, you will be now, from now on, the wife of my husband." I know that you won't do that. I know. This was a bug then. So this happened, you know, and Abraham followed the culture, understanding that it was doing, that it was okay. He, you know, they expend moments of intimacy, and Hagar was pregnant. Now, when this happened, you have to read between the lines. You know, Hagar start to feel like, "Huh. Hey, Hagar, it is time to do, you know, the chores." "What? You do it. I won't do it." No, and he said, "Sweetheart, listen, can we go to Walmart? Because we need to do something." And Sarah was said, "Abraham, please. Well, it is my wife. I need to go with." So immediately things start to change terribly in the household of Abraham. And Abraham at this time, he was just following, you know, the rules of that time. And Sarai started to feel very, very bad. Then, verse 5, then Sarai said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abraham said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. I mean, wouldn't you? If you've been abused, are you going to stay in that relationship when you've been treated harshly, when you are not respected, when they treat you like you are trash, that you don't have value, and they give you just every single epithet, every single expression to put you down, to put you down, to put you down, you become tired. And the first option that you have, I am sick and tired of this situation. And I'm leaving. And I know some of us sometimes have passed for these experiences in our home, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our relationship, and in different places, you know, because this is part of the human heart that has been not converted, to treat others harshly. And Hagar fled from the presence of Sarai. Now the angel of the Lord, verse 7, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Wow. For me, when I read this story, and I follow the second chapter of this story, it was like, what? You know, Sarai followed the story, tried to imagine Abraham was living in Arizona, back there, the Arizona of Palestine, you know, desert, hot desert, like Phoenix in August. Now, Sarai, it was no buildings, it was not like today, you know, can you picture just some tents here and maybe several miles away, another several 4 or 5 tents of another family living? That was the place there. It was the desert. And Sarah and Hagar fled from this situation, and suddenly who found her? Did you notice who found her? The angel of the Lord. Now I ask you, who is the angel of the Lord in the Bible? Definitely is Jesus himself. How do we know this? Well, verse 13 says, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here see him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Observe it. It is between and the place. So this is the connection that we can understand that indeed it was God who directly spoke to Hagar. Jesus himself saw the affliction that this woman was experiencing, all the situation that was going on. Now the question that he asked, you know, where are you coming from? Where are you going? It is not because God doesn't know exactly what's going on in your life, because he wants that you understand your situation, your condition, that he wants you to be sure what's going on in your life and to have things into perspective, that don't lose heart when you are experiencing, even when you are experiencing hard moments. Because we tend to forget about ourselves. When the situation is hard, we tend to say, I don't care anymore for nothing. And you tend to try to throw away everything. But the Lord wants to always to tell us, hey, don't throw away your essence of existence. And sometimes we must accept our situation. Sometimes we must accept our position. We must accept our reality. But with a blind faith, holding the hand of the Lord, he will help us to come out eventually, and everything will be fine. If only we trust, even though sometimes we don't see clearly. But I would just keep trusting in God. Remember, he promised that he will be with us always. He will protect us. He will defend us. He is our shield. He is our provider. He always will give us. He, God himself. Even though things are against you, but trust in God. And can you remember? I mean, can you imagine for Hagar to say, what? Should I return to the same situation that I have been mistreated, that I have been misjudged, that I have been abused, that I have been treated harshly? And the Lord says, yes, Yes. And by the way, not only that, submit. Submit to her. The word there, it is accept the position of Sarah, the Sarai, accept her, accept the leadership, accept the position of her position. If you submit yourself, I will bless you. I will bless you. But how can I submit to a person that is unworthy to that? How can I submit to that? Believe me, I try to understand this, Lord. The only thing that I know, it is that God said, listen, Hagar, you have a great blessing in you. That now I need to take care of this. That I need to protect this. Because it will be a great blessing. It will be a great blessing. Even though you don't see it right now. You don't understand it right now. But if you just hang out there. If you really hold my hand, I will bless you. Well, Hagar returned. And definitely, verse 15 says, so Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. So I imagine when Hagar returned and Abraham saw her coming back, and they discussed, they agree, and Hagar says, I'm sorry, forgive me, I know I did wrong, but I am here, and I will respect you, I will accept my position here, but I need to tell you something, Abraham. I am pregnant, and God told me that the son must be called Ishmael, because God heard me when I was in distress, when I was in deep trouble. God heard my cry. And he told me that the boy should be called Ishmael. Is that clear to you, Abraham? And Abraham said, no problem. I accept that. You see, sometimes we must hear our wife's indications. Sometimes we must to follow directions. I just say that because Marilyn says her husband doesn't want to listen to her. But sometimes it is okay. And it is wise to follow. Well, this is round one. This is round one. And everything was fine. You know, next the time came, Hagar gave light. Yes, he gave birth to a boy, beautiful boy, Ishmael. Now come to me. Chapter 21. Round two. Chapter 21. In chapter 21, Isaac is born. Now, Isaac is the son of the promise. The son that indeed all the dreams, all the expectation of Abraham was supposed to be fulfilled in this son. And verse 6 says, so the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out this bound woman and her son, for the son of this bond woman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Wow. Round two. Again. I mean, now it is because children are Ishmael. By that time, Ishmael was around 14 years old. Now, Isaac was 1 year old, and Ishmael 14, and Ishmael knew that he was a special son. I imagine that during 13 years of life, Abraham treated so dearly this child of him, because that was his delight, knowing that through him God will bless him. But now it was a situation that was not easy for Abraham. And now Sarah saw the situation. You know the word scoffing, right? Even though in English is there, but it can be different things. Mistreat someone, laughing at one, make mockering someone, scoffing someone. Different meanings, you know, that you make feel the other person less. And Sarah saw that. He said, no, my son is not like that. My son is special. My son is a blessing from God. My son shouldn't be experiencing these traumas every day. Hearing Ishmael, you know, yelling at him, treating him badly. And he says, enough is enough. Abraham, please, cast away this lady. I don't want her anymore around this, my home. Nor her son, because he won't be heir with my son. And the Bible says that when Abraham heard this, it was so painful for him, so distressful for him, so uneasy for him, because he was his son. He was his son. But aren't you willing to do whatever it takes for the sake of your child? You will do whatever it takes, isn't it? You will go any distance for your child. When you know that your child is in trouble, you will do whatever it takes to protect it, to protect him, to give him the whatever he needs. Well, verse 12. But God said to Abraham, who told Abraham? God. Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. Wow. This is one of the things that for me was like, I don't understand sometimes. God tells Hagar, please return to your situation. Return to your place. Return there. I'll be with you. And now God is telling, hey, get out of here. This is not your place. Get out of here. I agree with Sarah. I am with Sarah. You don't belong to here. But you see, even though sometimes things look harsh or sometimes difficult to understand, remember, you and I, we are in the middle of a master plan of God. God has a marvelous plan for your life. When you understand this, you will see every single event in your life with a different eyes. You've been fired in your workplace. You know that God is behind you, and there is something that you, even though you don't see it clearly, but at the end, you know that everything will be okay because you trust in God. When suddenly you experience an accident. Remember, everything is under God's control. Even though sometimes everything is against you, and you were not expecting this awful situation. But if you only trust, because God has a plan for your life, that he needs to lead you for the different paths in life, that eventually he will bless you tremendously. If only you trust in him. You don't understand, but trust in God, always trust in God. You are expelled. You are now in a situation. You are not responsible. You are not responsible for the situation that are going on right now in your life. Somebody else made the decision and you are suffering because of their decisions. But trust in God. Trust in God. He knows how He will solve it in the best way that He will bless you. Let me tell you the story. Short story. I was working in Mexico. When I received my call to ministry, I went to Mexico, in the center of Mexico. I just came to this country to marry my wife in Los Angeles. She grew up in this. She's from El Salvador. She's Salvadorian. And we married. I stayed during a summer. We married in June. And my work start in September, so I spend part of the June, July, and August, and we return to Mexico to work. You know, we were, you know, starting our ministry. She started ministry. I met her in the seminary in Mexico, and we were so excited to start our work, and we start to work. You know, and because Salvadoranian. When we got into Mexico, we request a visa for her, and the visa was given for 6 months only. And the visa got expired. And we went again to the office knowing that there is no problem. And guess what? They refused to give her another visa. And the reason was because El Salvador, at that particular moment, was almost in civil war and becoming communist. Mexico closed all frontiers, all the borders for Salvadorians. So they gave her a letter and they expelled her from Mexico. And we fought. We had the best lawyer that the church had in Mexico back in those days, a Japanese lawyer. And he told me, Guillermo, don't worry. Tomorrow I have a visa with you. And 1 day, 2 days, a week, 10 days, and he couldn't. And he came to me and said, Guillermo, you won't believe. This is the first case that I lost, that I lose. The first case that I lose, that I cannot get a visa for you. I don't know what's going on. You see, even when you don't see clearly, God is behind everything. So because she came, you know, to the States, so she has to come alone because I had to wait for certain reasons. It's a long story that I just need to share. And finally, you know, I had to come to the States, and my wife met the secretary or the coordinator in one of the places over there in Los Angeles, and she was also Salvadoranian, the secretary. And when they met, hey, hi, how are you? And what are you doing here? Well, my wife explained her that she said, now Guillermo has to come and we need to find a work. And she said, you know what? Right now they are needing an associate pastor for the evangelist. And let me tell my boss. She told the boss, and the boss says, oh, is Guillermo the guy who was here last year during the summer? Tell him that to come, that we have a place for him. And I came to the States with a work. And believe me, I always said that God used a war in El Salvador in order to make me come to the States. Because otherwise, when I got married and I was here, they offered me a job. And I rejected it. And I said, no, I don't want to work in the United States. I don't want to, because my goal was for Mexico, but I didn't know. I didn't know God had another plans. You have your own plans, but God has the plans for your life. And we must be willing always to let God to lead our life, because He will know. He knows from where she's going to take you. Well, I praise the Lord that I came to the States, and I praise His name. Because now I understand that because of that, I had the opportunity to finish my school. I was sent to Andrews to finish my master's degree. I went to the doctoral program. Being in Mexico, it will take me incredibly effort to finish because over there in Mexico, in order to allow you to go to finish the school, you must to fulfill so many rules and so many, as they call, goals in your profession. And it is sometimes so hard for them to finish the school. And I praise God, they sent me and they paid to me. And they gave me the stipend to survive. And the Lord has used me more abundantly, I would say, if I will stay in Mexico. So I praise the Lord. And believe me, and I thank God that for the war in El Salvador. And because of that, I am here. So, Hagar don't understand why even God was with Sarah in agreement. But she was expelled. And verse 14 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Wow. Now, when I was reading this passage and I tried to go and understand the word wandering, it was like a kind of lost in their path. She was kind of lost. She didn't know exactly where to go. She was confused. She was like, now what? Now what? You know, life was serious. Her life was in peril. And now her child also was in peril. And she was in distress because she was lost. And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Wow. Have you ever sometimes run out of your provisions? Have you ever sometimes been with your bank account in zero and you know that you need to pay bills? You need to come out with money to finish your obligations, your responsibilities. And now you are afraid and you are asking yourself, Lord, how I will deal with these situations? I don't have the money. Or I don't have any more the health to continue, Father. The Bible says that for Hagar and her son, the water was gone. The provision for them was gone. And I imagine the situation. She was in distress. Nowhere to go. No friends. No place to go. No provisions. I imagine the situation was so hard for her. So hard. But believe me, brothers, if you just remember that a God has promised you that he will never abandon you because he will be with you, he will never, never cast you out. Even though others cast you out, he will never cast you out. He always will be with you. He always will provide for you. Being at Andrews, you know, at the end of the month, we receive an stipend always at the beginning of the month. Obviously, by the end of the month, our provisions, you know, the ones, you've been in Andrews and ministry, you know what it is I am talking about. And I remember this particular time, you know, our refrigerator was completely empty. I remember we had only one bottle of juice, half bottle of juice, and one tomato, and we were completely, and I knew it, we were already four in the family, and Senia says, Guillermo, I don't have nothing more to cook, to prepare. And I said, so be it, let us fast. But in my heart, I said, Lord, what will we do? My two children, they need milk. We need provision. And I remember I prayed. We prayed, Zenia and I, we prayed. And we went to bed. And I said, tomorrow, God will bless us. And my brothers, believe me, it was so amazing. The next morning, I opened the door. And there were two bags of groceries in the door, in the steps of there. And I said, Zenia, come, look. It was amazing. Did God hear our cry last night? I bet you he did. In the most extreme moments in our time in life, he always will provide for you. Sometimes he just let you go through in order to help you to develop that faith that we need. Because every time that we go in our lives, more episodes in our life, harder and harder, will come that you will need your faith in order to overcome and to be a successful children of God. And don't get despair. Don't give up your faith. Keep your blind faith, holding Jesus' hand, knowing that he always will provide for you. Well, the Bible says that Hagar cried out, lift her voice and wept. Notice verse 17. This is a beautiful text. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? What is your pain? What is making you suffer? What is making you experience pain in you? What makes you feel so distressed? This is all the meaning that you can find in the original word in this. Hagar, what's going on with you? What is it? God, don't you know what's going on in my life? But God is trying to help Hagar to remember, you know, 14 years ago, he told Hagar, I will be with you. I will defend you. I will protect you. I always will bless you because you are now, for me, you are a special lady. Yes, in the past, you were not even in the map. But now, Hagar, for me, you are so special. You know, as we were singing the beautiful song a few moments ago, God knows your name. And he calls you from heaven with your name. It is so amazing. It is so amazing to know that a God calls your name because he knows you. And he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what is you are experiencing. But he only wants you to remember, please don't give up in what I promise you. Just remember, bring it back to you that I will be with you. And I know that it is easy to say, well, Lord, why you allow me then to go through this? Why then you don't solve before I go through this? Because God just wants to prepare you to be ready for the greatest blessings that are coming in your way. Because if we are not prepared, we won't be able to really appreciate the great blessing that the Lord will just give you. He will put that blessing in your bosom. But if you are not prepared with all little experiences in your life, and little by little are tougher and tougher and tougher, but when the great blessing will come, you will be ready to say, praise the Lord. I know God is so faithful, and God has fulfilled his promises to my life, and God never will forsake you. Remember that. So Hagar, let us keep reading. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Now, look at this. He says, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Fear what? Fear not. Brothers and sisters, fear is the opposite of faith. Everything negative in our lives comes from fear. This emotion in us make us to distort reality and make us see things that are not real. to make them real when they are not real. Fear makes us see things completely, completely contrary to us. You are not able, when you fear, you are not able to see God's blessings because fear blinds you. And that is always why from the very beginning, every time when God wants to bless his people, always will use this phrase, don't fear, don't fear. You see, when you fear, always you will be stuck. When you fear, you will not advance in your walking. And remember, faith pushes us to go forward, little by little, putting our steps. You know, learn the steps of faith. Faith always will encourage us to keep going, to keep going, to don't give up. Fear will stop us. And that is exactly what God is telling Hagar. Don't fear, don't fear. Reject fear from your mind. Reject fear from your heart. Don't let fear get a place in your life. Because you won't let the blessing of God, the miracles of God, fear won't let that indeed God will manifest with all his power, with all his glory in your life. Remember, every time when Jesus went to the disciples, they will be afraid. And Jesus always would say, hey, don't fear. I am. I am Jesus. In the middle of the night. Two more nights. I will share a story about that. So, God says, fear not. I have heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise. Lift up the lad and hold him with your hand. For I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a wall of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave to the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. You see, God always had been with that child because he was a special child. It was a blessing from God to Abraham because God had a plan. And when you finish the whole story, and if you follow Ishmael in the Bible, if you follow who became the Ishmaelites, they were part in the process in God's plan. And still today, the Ishmaelites, as the Jewish people, is still in God's plan. And that's another story. But to me here, it is interesting that God says, hey, I heard already your child cry. And this, for me, it is a great blessing, my brothers and sisters. I will tell you why. Because even though your child is not right now with you, and maybe you are afraid that he will die, or he's in serious trouble, and his life is in peril, please don't give up your faith in Jesus. Pray, pray, keep praying. Keep praying for your child. Keep praying for that son, for that daughter. And just remind God, don't forget about my son. Don't forget about my daughter. When you gave me that blessing, Lord, I dedicate it to you. And I offer it to you as a great blessing from you. And I ask you, Lord, that you will bless my child. And I will do my best for raise that child to become a blessing for others. Didn't you? So don't give up on your child. Don't give up on your daughter, on your son. Just keep reminding God that he must fulfill what he promised to you that he will do with your child. And the Bible says that Ishmael became a great man. 12 princes came out from Ishmael. 12 princes that dwelt, and they had a great portion of the land, the promised land, part of God's plan for them. God bless. The Bible didn't say the rest, but let us finish here in verse 21. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now, the story ends there of Hagar, but I can see her. I can picture her now as a a lady, a woman, now with respect, with a position, thanks to his child, to his son, that his son gave her now a position in society. And Hagar became also a respectful woman. Even the Bible didn't say that. But I assume that this is what happened with Hagar. God bless her. God prosper her. God fulfilled the plan for her life and also for the life of her child. If only you don't give up and your faith keeps anchored in God, God will fulfill his plan for you, for your child, and for all your descendants. That's the promise of the Lord. Don't give up on your faith. You know, I will end with this story. It is so treasured in my heart. Even though already has been years already. But I will try not to cry, but if I do, just understand and forgive me for this. But my oldest daughter, when I married her, she went to her honeymoon to one place over there in the Caribbean, somewhere in South Pacific. And over there, she got so sick. 8 days honeymoon, but so sick. They didn't know what was going on, but she was so sick. They returned to the States, and directly she was taken to the hospital. And from that day on, 7 long months of suffering and pain. I saw my daughter going like a candle. When you see the candle that is, going out in life, it was so awful. We did everything possible. I tried to help my son-in-law in everything possible to find a doctor that will help my daughter. It was so. They say that it was leukemia. They made the exams and they say yes, it is leukemia. And they say no, it is not leukemia. And then they said it is Crohn's disease, and they made all the exams and they said yes, it is Crohn's disease, and they said no, it is not Crohn's disease, and then they said it is tuberculosis, it's up in the intestines, and they made all the exams and they said yes, it is, and then they say no, it is not. And well, they were working with so many things, all treatments. Meanwhile, she was literally dying, and my wife went to help her every single day because she couldn't handle herself. She couldn't dress up herself. She couldn't do anything by herself. And it was every day, it was the same story. My wife will come home and crying, Guillermo, Karen is dying. And the same thing for me. Oh, Xenia, let us pray. And every single day, God, please help us. Heal Karen. You know how much she's serving you, how much she loves you, how much I serve. You know how we push God and we try to present everything. It was so hard for us. And then one day, one of the aunts called that she wants to visit her, and I said, yes, I will take you. And I called Karen, your aunt is coming, your aunt is coming, she wants to see you, to pray with you. Okay, that tell her that I will be in the swimming pool and I need to take some sun. And I said, okay, that's when I realized she will die, because she was only a skeleton in swimming suit. It was incredible, when I saw her. I wanted to cry right there. I wanted to cry, but I hold it. And my sister-in-law, when saw her, it was so, so terrible. When I returned home, I remember I went to my room, and the gates of my dumb came all, and I cried, and I poured out my soul to the Lord and said, God, I know now Karen will die. She was taken to a hospital. They tried to make something, because she couldn't hold any type of food, Everything would throw out. That's why she was so skinny, 95 pounds only. And then one day came in and the doctor says, we need to do something, but I need to tell you the truth. Karen needs to be operated, but she's so weak, she won't resist the surgery, and pretty much she will die. But if we don't do it, she will die. So we have this situation, and you must to decide. I know I am the father, but not the husband. They had to make this hard decision. Before I go and finish there, let me tell you, I receive a call. One person, sometimes they are so harsh with us. And this person says, Pastor Garcia, I'm just calling you to say that we are sorry for your daughter and she's this condition. But I was wondering, didn't she wrote this little song that says when God's people pray, marvelous things happen? Why then she didn't experience this? Could it be that she is in sin? That's why God doesn't want to heal her? And it is hard sometimes to hear these situations. You know, and I said, yes, she's the one. But, you know, the last word hasn't been said yet. And we still believe that a God will do marvelous things. Well, now back to the hospital. The doctor says, you know, we found that the large intestine has a mass that has grown. When they did, finally, they did a colonoscopy and they discovered that this situation, that was the problem. The mass, that's why it was only a little hole that was only few liquid was able to go through. That's why Karen couldn't hold the food. And now they said, we need to remove. And they removed almost a foot of the large intestine, the ascending part, the part that comes after the small intestine. That was the one who was removed from her. But I remember when I went to her room the night before the surgery, I told Karen, listen, when you were born, I consecrate you to God. When you turn 16, your sweet 16, remember that I pray for you in the church and I consecrate you to God. And when you turn 18 and you went to the La Sierra University, remember that we made this special prayer and I consecrate you? And she was saying, yes, that. Karen, listen. If we leave, we should live, but God, for God's glory. If we die, we should die for God's glory. Remember that. Now, Karen, I know that you will go now through a very hard procedure. You may die. Are you aware of this? And she said, yes. Now, can I ask you one thing? And she said, yes, what is it? I said, Karen, don't give up your faith in Jesus. Hold your hand. Hold his hand. He will take you through. I will see you at the other side. Can we do this? And she said, yes, Dad. I trust in Jesus. Great. And I left the room. And a surgery that I was supposed to last 4 hours, last 6 hours. They couldn't, Karen was, after the surgery, was, imagine, so weak. They couldn't say nothing to us. It was already almost 11 in the night. And they said, we need to wait to see if she can pass the night. Before, let me tell you this, because this is important. Because the before the surgery, the doctor, Indian doctor, you know, a lady, beautiful, beautiful doctor. I mean, God bless her. She's not a Christian. She's an Hindu. She asked her, Karen, do you have a God that you can trust? Do you know that they have many gods? They have close to 1,000 gods, the Hindu people. I went to his temple once and they gave me a tour and they present me all those gods, close to 1,000. And the doctor asked, "Do you have a God that you trust?" And she said, "Yes. Her name is Jesus." And the doctor said, "Well, pray to your God, because only a miracle will take you from this, take you out from this situation." The surgery went on. We went next day. I was 7 o'clock in her room. I went as pastor. You know, they allowed me to go as pastor because we had this privilege to go in. And I went, and my son-in-law was still sleeping beside the bed, and Karen was there. And I entered in the room, and I saw this little tiny body. And I prayed, "God, whatever it is." And that moment, the doctor came. He was doing her tour, you know, visiting all her patients. And then came and said, "Hi, sir, good morning." I said, "Good morning, doctor." I was quiet in there, just watching there. And the doctor came and said, "Karen, Karen, Karen, come on, sweetheart, Karen." And Karen, "Yes, Karen, it was a miracle. A miracle happened. Your God, who are you? You are okay now." And my brothers and sisters, from that day on, like a rocket, her health returned to her and went up. Now she already gave us 2 grandchildren. We are so happy. She is in ministry, leading her band in her church in Los Angeles. And they are doing great. And I praise God, because in the last moment, when we thought that everything was already over, God heard our cry. And I know God will hear your cry. When you need her the most, He will hear you. When Hagar was, she saw that everything was over, God heard her cry. God heard the cry of the lad. God, every cry that ascends to Him, God receives as His own, and He acts. Every time when you hold to His hand and you don't lose faith, God will bless you, and He will pour upon you all the blessings that you need. And I praise for the God that we worship, the God that we follow, because He's a faithful God, and everyone who trusts in Him always will see the glory of the Lord. Can you stand? And I will give you a blessing. Will you please accept my blessing? Jivareha Adonai Bishmareha. Yaveh Adonai Panaveleha Bihuneka. Isa Adonai Panaveleha Leamseleha Shalom. El Señor vaya contigo en tu levantarte y en tu acostarte, en tu salir y en tu entrar, en tu trabajar y en tu descansar. Y hasta que nos volvamos a encontrar otra vez, Dios nos guarde a todos en las palmas de sus manos. Y que la paz y el gozo del Señor siempre sean características en tu corazón. Amén y amén. Y el pueblo dijo, and the people says, amen. Amen.